keep the Sabbath holy. I've actually spent a lot of time thinking about the Sabbath. I spent a couple of years in Israel, and almost every weekend I would go on these Sabbath retreats with my Orthodox Jewish friends, and it was so much fun. We would pray in Hebrew, eat a lot, hike. What was particularly fun for me was to try and obey all of the rules. I would try to avoid spending money. I would try to avoid using electricity, which meant I would walk up 12 flights of stairs to my apartment as opposed to taking the elevator. I also couldn't use my cell phone. Eventually, I got so tired. Eventually, I tried to get around the rules. Since I was not allowed to ask anyone to quote-unquote sin for me, I would sigh and say, I wonder who's calling me, as I motioned to my cell phone. And then my goy friend would open it up and go, it's Shlomo. And then I would sigh again and say, I wonder if Shlomo knows that I'm pretending to be Jewish this weekend. Then my friend would type the message into the cell phone. It's really silly, right? Why did I think I needed to do these things? I'm only a Gentile. Not only am I a Gentile, what I was doing evolved into a legalistic act. It can actually be quite spiritual to vacation from your communication devices. It can actually be quite spiritual to not spend money for once. So while one doesn't have to do these things to keep the Sabbath holy, there really is a lot of beauty in Shabbat. Who has ever been to an art museum, a modern art museum? Yeah. Even if you haven't, it's really easy to imagine. It's a large room, often some boring color, and there's a chair right in the middle on a platform that you can't touch, and that's it, right? I know it's really easy to poke fun at, but I actually really like modern art. And earlier this year, I went to an exhibit in Sacramento, and there was just this folded up card table, like one of those picnic tables, leaning against a wall, and that was it. This is actually what Shabbat is like. All of a sudden, you can't use certain things. All of a sudden, this object no longer exists to serve you. It stands independently from you. All of a sudden, you can see it for what it is. You don't admire it because it conveniences you. You don't admire the chair because you get to sit in it. You don't love something or someone because of how they make you feel. A day of rest may seem like a day for self-indulgence, an excuse to not do work or answer emails. I say that it is about taking ourselves out of the center. It is a break from our routine. We disengage from the world's conventions and we reorient our gaze to God. In Matthew, Jesus does not disagree with the Pharisees. Not his theology, anyway. He just disagrees with their practice. I do not disagree with keeping the Sabbath holy. I object to the legalistic attitude that I fell prey to. In reality, we must love the law. God is manifested in the law. The Philippians, however, are using the law to exclude people. A group of Christians are claiming that one must convert to Judaism before he or she can become a true believer. Paul gets a reputation for being exclusive, yet this is exactly what he's fighting against. Circumcision is not our mark. What marks us? How has the Holy Spirit left her imprint on you? Paul seems to be up against converts who want to undergo circumcision because they are seeking man's approval. Paul says no, no. Do not let others condemn you when only Christ's opinion matters. Be vigilant. Guard yourself. This is a large church with a lot of faith. I've been hit over the head with how much love there is here. The church in Philippi was also impressive. There is so much to celebrate and commend, yet Paul counts everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. He has found surpassing value in Jesus. Our text calls all else rubbish. Rubbish, how Anglican of the Bible. Really, the Greek probably translates closer to dung. All else is disgusting and repulsive. Look at the resume Paul gives. He is showing us his righteousness was keeping him from coming to Christ. That spirit is alive today. Eventually, I have had to let God love me as a sinner. As I confront my sin more, I think I begin to appreciate the cross more. And I wonder what's getting in the way of our desire to pursue more encounters with God. How can we desire God without wanting to use God? Like the Sabbath, I have had to learn and relearn to remove myself from the center. I have had to worship Christ first because Christ is worthy, and not because I get this wonderful prize at the end. Is it possible to love someone without expecting something in return? God's love for us took him to the cross. God's love led to pain and suffering. God's fidelity is unrelentless. You actually can't do anything that will stop God from loving you. If you are in Christ, then you are so free that you can't be holier. Now what? As recipients of God's immeasurable love, we are called to respond accordingly. Moses tells us that God is here to test us. But how do I know if I've become reckless or too indulgent? Actually, the Ten Commandments are a really good starting point. How do you love your neighbor? Don't kill him. Seriously, though, it's all there. God's beauty is manifested in the law, and we are to study and embody the law so eventually we don't even have to think about it. We are to study the law until love is in our muscle memory. Yes, love is a verb. When God's law is written on our hearts, God won't even have to condemn you. We'll know it so well that we'll be qualified to do that to ourselves. Jesus does not pronounce doom upon the Pharisees. Jesus merely poses a parable, and the Jewish leaders end up condemning themselves. Once the Holy Spirit marks you, that is a supernatural thing. Privilege, our metaphorical circumcision perhaps, can lead to pride. If it is going to be a stumbling block, if it is going to prevent us from accepting our gift, we are to consider it as loss. It is good and noble to strive after what is right, but I beg you, do not let it inhibit you from seeing more important things and enjoying more important truths. Amen.